Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Stunt Treks with yours truly, Uncle Jim, and the one and only Leslie Hoffman. And joining us live tonight, as usual, we have Charles, my co-host from Trek Talking and Beyond, and we have Admiral Ken. How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay.
Doing good.
Yeah, doing good. Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually pretty comfortable this afternoon.
Well, we didn't get any snow, so that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Leslie? How much snow did you get?
Well, no, I think it's been about a week since it snowed last. So we just have cool evenings, but we haven't had any snow in about a week.
I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it? No snow. The middle of May, and we're talking about snow. It's just unbelievable. No snow. So anyways, guys, we didn't do a show last week because it was Mother's Day weekend. So we took a day off. So we're back. And we were going to continue our conversation with Stunts Gone Wrong because we did barely left Star Trek when we started talking. And Leslie's been in a lot of other stuff besides Star Trek, and we had a lot of other movies that we were going to touch on. But then this whole thing came around with the new Star Trek series, Strange New Worlds, and we started talking about, you know, how are they going to do that? They haven't even got Star Trek Discovery Season 3 released yet, and that was wrapped up several months ago. And they still haven't been able to get that finished. How are they going to start doing brand new shows like Star Trek Strange New Worlds or Picard Season 2, for instance? And then Leslie found an interesting article about Hollywood and Runaway Productions and things of that nature. And since Leslie's the expert on these situations, we thought it might be interesting to talk about that and how this COVID-19 is going to affect some of our favorite shows like Star Trek, for instance, or maybe it won't. You know, we're going to talk about that. So if you guys have any questions, give us a call at 646-668-2433. Leslie would love to answer your questions because me, Ken, and Charles can't. So, you know, if you'd like to call and ask Leslie a question, we'd really appreciate it. 646-668-2433. You can also send us a message if you visit us on Facebook at the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page. So let's go around the room real quick here and see what's going on with everybody. Charles, what's going on out in Las Vegas?
Not a whole lot. We're only low 90s today, but we got windy and a little front coming in. But today was a bit interesting for me in a different point. I've actually still got it on TV, but I've actually got a chance to sit there and watch a live NASCAR race. But it's interesting to see a race with no fans, minimal amounts of people in the track, but they got to race.
Yeah, you know, they're going to start doing baseball the same way. They're not going to have any fans, but they're going to mic the players and put cameras on the players so you can hear what they talk about when they're on the baselines and when they're in the dugouts, and try to give the fans that are watching on TV a different perspective of the game that we've never seen. So I'm looking forward to that. But baseball in an empty stadium is going to be weird. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely for sure. And maybe
they're going to have one of those machines that applaud and cheer.
Well,
so you'll
it's
get
funny you
background
should mention
noises
that.
As baseball
it's funny you
or
should
football
mention that, Leslie, because they've been airing Korean baseball on ESPN. And what they did with the Korean baseball, because the stadiums are empty, they put a bunch of cardboard cutouts in the stadium behind home plate. So when they show the pitcher pitching to the batter, it looks like there's people in the stands behind home plate, but they're only cardboard people. So which actually they did that in Star Wars. If I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but in Star Wars, when Princess Leia gives Luke and Han their medals and they're walking down the row of rebel soldiers, when they first enter, the rebel soldiers on the right and on the left, the first eight or 10 rows of them are just cardboard cutouts to fill it out and make it look like there's more people there. And then when they did the special editions, they went back and CGI'd real people into the audience and took the cardboard people out. I don't know if you guys ever caught that or not. Or if you have an old copy of Star Wars before the special editions, go back and check it out and you'll see cardboard people. So, interesting. We also have with us Admiral.
I think it was I'm trying to remember in Star Wars 1 when they had the stadium scene with the kid when he was racing.
Oh, yeah,
yep. Stands was pretty much digital.
Interesting. And we also have with us the Admiral, Ken himself. He's down in Albany, New York tonight. How you doing tonight, Ken?
Okay, back when we were talking about baseball, I was going to say, well, us Mets fans are used to semi-empty stadiums, hey, all the time. So it's not too much different from what was going on.
Very true. Very true. I'm wondering how MLB is going to charge me for to watch baseball when they're only having half the games and they're not real games. Are they going to charge me full price or are they going to give me a discount?
Of course they are. It's the American way.
That's true. That's true. Rape them.
Yeah. There's all kinds of discussions about that and some of the players right now, too. So.
Well, for that matter, too, the other question is, say, like TBS All Access. I mean, if they're not producing new shows, they're charging you for the service every month.
True.
They don't have new product.
You know, like have season tickets to all these games. You know, who knew that 2020 was going to be like this? And yet they probably paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars or thousands to have season tickets for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. And now they can't even attend.
I did notice an article. There's a couple of Mets fans down in Long Island who bought season passes and paid a huge amount of money for them. And the Mets won't give them a refund. And they want their money back because they can't go to the games. And apparently there's some stipulation that if a game isn't played or doesn't make it beyond a certain amount of innings, they give you a rain check for another game. So they're just playing semantics because they're waiting for the season to start and be a half a season and say, hey, look, you know, they played a half a season. So I don't know if other sports are having that problem as well, but a couple of fans are suing the Mets and MLB because they paid for these tickets and they won't refund them. So we'll have to see how that works out. But
I feel like somewhere in the past, like for basketball, the Celtics, I mean, you're on a waiting list for like 10 years before you finally get a season pass because everyone else has had, you know, have a seat. Basically, somebody has to die before you can get seats for Celtic games. And I also feel that, now I'm talking about football, that the Green Bay Packers, it was like a lottery or something that, you know, these seats aren't just readily available. I mean, you either had to wait a long time or you had to win a lottery to get these tickets. So now, like you say, these people in 2020 have these season tickets and can't even go.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of the conventions that are going on, they have a stipulation in their contracts. It's what's called force majeure. And if the convention is canceled by the governor, if they have a stay and they cancel the convention, then they're not obligated to pay the actors or the convention hall. But if the convention company themselves cancels the convention, and basically I'm talking about Creation Entertainment and the Las Vegas convention, because that's the one that everyone's worried about. If Las Vegas tells them the hotel is closed and you can't have the show, then they have to refund all those people. But if Creations turns around and cancels the show, it changes everything. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
I wonder if there's a loophole somewhere in the contract about, you know, what they call acts of God. I mean, you know, it's one thing if a company just says, okay, we're not doing a convention this year. It's another thing, let's say, if the hotel burned down or in this case there's a virus that the state has quarantined the people that you can't have a convention. I mean, in other words, Creation, not that I like Creation, but, you know, I mean, Creation would have been probably more than willing to have a convention. Well, we don't know what's going to happen yet. But it isn't like they truly, if they have to cancel it, it isn't because they truly wanted to cancel it. It, like I say, the legal term or what I've seen is acts of God seems to be the exception to a bunch of contracts.
And is COVID-19 considered an act of God? I wonder.
I'm waiting for the... I would think that this virus is, it would fall under acts of God.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be religious here. I'm just, that unfortunately is the legal terminology. I mean, in other words, it was neither side's fault. It was a third reason why something didn't happen.
Yeah, we'll have to. That's interesting.
Hey, personally speaking, I'd like to think that God likes Star Trek.
I would agree with that. I think that God likes Star Trek. That, well, he had an episode named after him, Whom Gods Destroy, right?
Yeah, really, yeah. You know,
so,
I mean, God's
so
a Star Trek.
Have it.
But what does God need with a starship?
That's true. What does God need with a starship? One of my favorite lines from Star Trek. So, anyways, as I said at the top of the hour, we were talking about how the COVID virus is going to affect our favorite shows, most notably Star Trek. Now, the only show that is currently, the only Star Trek show that's currently filmed in Hollywood right now is Star Trek Picard. And that's because Patrick Stewart pulled some strings and said, look, I'm not going to Canada. If you want me in the show, it needs to be done in Hollywood. And so Picard is done in Hollywood, but CBS All Access or Paramount, whatever they're called these days, had invested millions and millions and millions of dollars building a brand new state-of-the-art studio in Toronto. So they're looking down the road to keeping all their shows being pumped out of Toronto versus pumped out of Hollywood. So Leslie is the one that's going to, we're going to talk to this in great length with Leslie, but basically Hollywood is shut down because of the COVID-19, and they have different sets of guidelines than Canada has. So how is that going to affect Star Trek, Leslie? What do you think?
Well, I think I have a feeling that Canada is going to come up with some guidelines for filming before California. You got a real okay. California or the United States, the union is, well, it's a merged union, so it's called SAG-AFTRA or Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, if you have to know what the letters stand for. But
Ken, did you write that down? There's going to be a quiz at the end of the show.
So specifically in California, all the unions and IATSE, which is like transportation, food service, I forget who else is IATSE, but then you got the unions, the directors, the actors, let's see, I'm trying to think who else, the writers, those are unions and or guilds, but like I say, then there's IATSE. So you got managers, unions, IATSE, and they're all trying to come up with a guideline. So you got, I think you got too many chiefs. I think their intentions are meant to be well-being, but I think you got too many chiefs trying to come up with a guideline, and California is so far behind the other states and the other countries that by the time they put together some kind of guideline, production is going to go to Canada. I think Canada is going to open up completely before the United States does. I've read that actually there's two different films filming, one in New Zealand, one in Australia, so they're opened up. I just have a feeling, I'll say internationally, they're going to come up with guidelines and they're going to start filming. I think Canada is going to come up with some guidelines, you know, fairly quickly, and they're going to open up, which means that Discovery and I just did a brain whatever the new Picard thing I forgot the name already.
Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Okay, I have a feeling that's going to be filmed in Toronto along with the third season of Discovery. Now, you know, Picard was supposed to have a second season. I mean, unless Patrick Stewart gets wise or somebody can convince him that he needs to go to Canada, they're just going to be sitting there in California twiddling their thumbs.
Now, Leslie, is everything in California, is Hollywood completely shut down totally?
Totally shut down.
Jim, the state of California,
I mean, in fact,
is still
this
mostly
is really
shut down.
Ridiculous, is that the president, well, there's a whole thing going on with the union I belong to. I'll just call it Screen Actors Guild as opposed to when I say SAG-AFTRA or whatever, or I might say SAG. The president and her political group has basically abolished the local boards and the national boards. They've created an executive committee of 24 voting people, weren't necessarily elected by the membership, and 14 alternate non-voting people, she wrote a letter. She wrote a letter to the membership saying it's illegal for you to work. She doesn't have that power. She can't tell people that they can or cannot work. You can't say I'm the president of the union and you cannot work.
So,
I mean, you know, if Georgia opens up and starts filming, members of the Screen Actors Guild are going to start working. They're not going to listen to a president sitting in California saying, you guys can't work.
So, for instance, they film The Walking Dead in Atlanta, Georgia. So if Georgia opens up, The Walking Dead can start filming. But what happens if, say, if some of the actors that are filming that particular show, what if they don't feel safe, or what if they don't feel satisfied in the safety precautions that are being taken? Can they refuse to go to work and film down there because of safety concerns, or would they lose their jobs? Would the union back them? How would that work?
That, well, you got it on the last thing, is that I mean, anybody can express concern. You know, but, how do I begin to say this? Is that you hope that the production company is going to go out of their way to try to make a set safe towards the virus, you know, taking people's temperature, keeping cast and crew isolated from, I mean, that's the sad part. Is in other words, what I've read is they're going to set up, I don't know if you want to call it camps, hotels, like rent out a whole hotel. And in other words, that cast and crew goes into that hotel and they don't go back to see their families. I mean, hopefully you have a bunch of people that have been tested and all that kind of stuff, and hopefully they don't have the virus, they're not carrying the virus, but they aren't going to be able to go, like you say, home and possibly contract the virus and then bring it back into the hotel and possibly infect the whole hotel, which I'm saying cast and crew. I mean, This just popped in my head. This is like that biosphere experiment, you know, where the people went into the biosphere and had no contact with the outside world.
So how would that affect
getting back to what you're saying is that yes, any actor, any crew member can express concern, and production company will say, fine, you're concerned and you don't want to work until you have some kind of guarantee. Guess what? You're not working. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Wow.
I mean, obviously, if the leads of a show aren't going to work it, then that really does cause a major problem. But I don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what's going to happen. But, again, I'm going to repeat myself, is that I think Georgia, I'm trying to remember if it was New Mexico or Arizona. I think it was Arizona just finished building, like, a whole new studio. A studio was built in New York City, like, a year or so ago. I have a feeling those studios are going to open up. I mean, now I'm strictly talking about the United States. Like I say, I think other countries are going to, well, some have already opened up, and I think others are going to open up fairly quickly. I think Canada, again, Screen Actors Guild is only the United States. Canada is run by a union called ACTRA, which I don't know why. I assume that the C probably is Canadian for the word Canadian. Now, that one I have to look up to see what ACTRA stands for, but like I say, that union is ACTRA. So SAG has no control over filming in Canada.
So Leslie, how does that work with let's center about Star Trek in particular. So Star Trek Picard already got picked up for a second season right now, but they can't film because of the COVID virus. Discovery already finished season 3, but they can't do their post-production because of COVID. Now we have Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which was just picked up. They can't start filming either because of the COVID virus. How does that work with the contracts that the actors have? Like, let's talk about Anson Mount, for instance. He now has a contract to film Star Trek Strange New Worlds, but they're not filming. Now, if another movie comes along and they're filming in New Zealand and they say to Anson Mount, hey, we want you to do this movie in New Zealand, but he's contracted for Star Trek, which isn't filming. Can he go do that movie in New Zealand because Star Trek's not filming? Does his contract bind him to that?
I have a feeling that would be something that a lawyer would have to answer. And again, I come back to acts of God. I mean, you know, if somebody has you locked in, then they have to be paying you. That would be my take on it. If they have you locked in and they aren't paying you, then they violated the contract, and then I think you're free to go to New Zealand or Australia.
Hmm.
You know, like
so
I say,
Paramount would have
there's
to pay
be
all
a
the
lot
back.
Of legal issues going on here.
Yeah, so probably Paramount would have to pay all these actors whether or not they're filming or not. Contract's up.
If they want to keep these actors available for when they can start filming, they would have to be paying them right now. They can't say, but we have you under contract, but we're not going to pay you because we aren't filming right now. They can't have it both ways.
Right, so Paramount would literally have to pay them now and then not film.
Right. It's amazing how much, I think it was Friends or I can't remember what show it was, but one of these top shows, the actors were getting $1 million per episode. But let's say even if it's $100,000 per episode, that, you know, Paramount would have to keep paying somebody for the season, whether they're filming them or not. Or hopefully that actor's business manager or lawyer wrote a contract that absolutely states that, you know, whether this performer is on film or not, from this time period to that time period, you must pay them, or you must release them.
Okay, Leslie.
I mean, that's one of the things that went away when the studio system disappeared.
Leslie, let me bring up an interesting story. I'm currently in the middle of an audiobook of Robin Williams' biography. And he ran into an interesting situation himself. He was contracted for the 1970s series, I think it was a new version of Laugh-In. And he had been on 6 shows. They had contracted him to be available, that he needed to be available for 6 more shows. But his contract stated that he couldn't be part of a regular series. So when he got offered Mark and Mindy, they actually had to go to the lawyers to get the to get him out of that contract. So it's interesting that the other side sits there and says that they let Robin go. But it's interesting here that they said he was supposed to be available for six more shows and not be part of a regular series, yet he got himself a regular series and had to get a lawyer to get out of that contract.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying is that you need a great lawyer. You always, if you're that big of an actor, you got to have the best lawyer around protecting you.
Yeah.
I mean, or Mark and Mindy was really at the beginning of his career, but
Well, he was a stand-up.
You just need a really great
before that show.
Entertainment lawyer.
Yeah.
So, Leslie,
and that's it.
Talking about Star
is
that, Trek.
There are so many different specialized lawyers. And like you say, I use the term entertainment lawyer. I mean, your run-of-the-mill lawyer may be a great lawyer in criminal court. Well, actually, they were criminal lawyers.
But not against specialized contracts.
It isn't even just business contracts. It's entertainment business contracts.
Right. Well, just the fact is you don't want a regular lawyer to do probate. You need a lawyer who knows probate to be able to do a probate case.
Right. Now, when I was working on Remington Steele, I don't know how Pierce Brosnan's contract was written, or I do know how it was written. It was that he had to ask MTM, Mary Tyler Moore Productions, if he could take or do another show or movie during hiatus, and he was offered James Bond while he was doing Remington Steele, and I don't know why MTM said no, but they said no. I mean, he could have been James Bond years before he finally became James Bond. But and I think it would have helped Remington Steele. I mean, the only thing I could think of is that MTM didn't want people thinking Remington Steele is James Bond, but I think that would be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my personal opinion.
Exactly. Would have brought more attention to the series.
Yeah. But no, MTM said absolutely not to Pierce. And however the contract was written, well, like I say, the contract was written that he had to ask if he could do movies in between the Remington Steele seasons, and he asked, and they said absolutely not. So he wasn't able to do the movie.
So, Leslie, in the case of Star Trek, Michelle Yeoh was contracted to do Section 31, which wasn't supposed to start until the end of Discovery Season 3, which wrapped up a couple of months ago. And they were supposed to start Section 31, Season 1, with Michelle Yeoh and who plays Ash? Charles, what's the guy that plays Ash?
I don't remember his name, but I know. But Ash Tyler.
Ash Tyler, right. They were going to start Section 31. But Michelle Yeoh went to them and said, look, I got offered this role to play Bad Santa Claus. In, well, that wasn't the name of the movie. But a female version of Santa Claus in this movie where Santa Claus is nasty. And I want to do this Santa Claus movie. And Paramount said, okay, you can do that. We'll just push back Section 31 a little bit to fit a movie into your schedule. So they gave her that clause. But then the COVID virus hit, and that movie was never filmed. It was never started. So she still has a clause in her contract that says that she can do this Santa Claus movie before she does season one of Section 31. So how does that work? If this virus lets go, I'm sure that Paramount's going to want, or CBS All Access is going to want that Star Trek show started. And I'm sure these people are going to want her for this bad Santa Claus movie. So how does that work? Who gets her?
She just did, I can promise you, she just didn't walk into a Paramount office and ask them and have someone in Paramount say, oh, okay, that's all right with us. I'm sure it was a bunch of legalese between two different lawyers or two different law offices before they came up with something. So, I don't know where they're going to film the Santa Claus movie. I don't know where they're going to film Section 31. I mean, again, if it's up in Canada, if it's out of the country, they may be able to do both things. And actually, I'd like to go back to when you say that post-production hasn't been finished on the third season of Discovery, when you're saying post-production, are you talking about retakes of actors, or are you talking about special effects for Discovery?
Yeah, all the special effects work is being done from people's homes. And they don't, and apparently they just don't have the computer power and the capacity to do the same quality of work that they would do if they were at the studio. So it's taking a very, very, very long time to do all the special effects work and all the CGI work that's required for Discovery. But all the filming and all the looping and everything is all already finished. Jonathan Frakes said it was already completed.
Well, I'm surprised that there is a main office or a main building somewhere that, let's say, where maybe you'd have 10 people in a room. Maybe I'm surprised that they couldn't have two or three people with the social distancing from each other.
Not if the city or group that they're doing it at shut the city down.
Yeah,
if they shut the city
sure.
down and see cars in front of a building, they could have licensing issues on that. So some cities are very restrictive to what buildings could be open.
Just Ken,
like the fact that they locked your place down.
You've been awful quiet, Ken.
Yeah.
Do you have any? Would you like to ask Leslie a question, Ken? You've been awful quiet.
Or did we
no, I'm just listen. I mean, you know, again, it's I'm just fascinated. All this background stuff that Leslie goes over. This is stuff we don't, as fans, normally get a chance to listen to. So yeah, so I'm just soaking it all in.
Like a giant sponge.
Leslie.
Yep.
Leslie.
I mean, you know, although I have a question for Leslie on something I was writing, but I can always message her on that.
No, you can go ahead, ask me a question.
Well, on the piece I'm working on, on the story I'm writing, I have a car stunt. Where the thing has to slide down a road after being tipped over by an explosion.
Oops. Okay, the operator is not keeping up with what you're saying. So
okay, in the story I was writing, I just sections I just wrote on, there's a car stunt where a car gets hit with an explosion. Tilts on its side and then slides down the road.
Okay,
down.
I got the scenario, but I don't have the question.
Okay. Uh, could you blow up a car or partially blow up a car and have it slide sideways down a road after it's been tilted over?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that could be either done in real action or CGI. I mean, there's two
right.
ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I
okay.
guess, I don't know, nowadays it would look pretty hokey, but I guess there's a third thing, is you could do it in miniatures.
Right.
But I don't think it would look that good.
Okay, I just, you know, like I said, I mean, it doesn't damage the car. It just flips it, and then the car slides.
Well,
no, okay,
if it was,
well, you sure aren't going to be able to do it in real time or live action, because you slide a car down the road, the asphalt's going to rip up that side of the car.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so CGI, or I guess the question that I have is, how can you have a storyline that a car slides down a road and not damage the side of the car?
Well, I didn't say that the side wasn't damaged. I mean, it just isn't blown apart, is what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, you're gonna have skid damage on the car, yeah. Especially on the side, especially on the driver's side where it tilts towards, yeah. I didn't say it wouldn't have a scratch. I just said it doesn't explode. It just gets knocked over.
Well, I hope you have Geico. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Hey, what can I say? It's fun to be a writer. You know?
Tom, actually, as a pastime, I'm talking years ago, used to do clogging, which is sort of a tap dancing, and there's a Geico commercial out there with people in an apartment, and they're talking about, you know, that, it's called clogging.
Yeah.
So every time I have a commercial with the clogging, I'm thinking of Tom because he used to do that.
So, Leslie, I have a question for you about this whole this Screen Actors Guild and this AFCA Canadian AGJA thing or whatever it is. When Hollywood actors, like the cast of Discovery, goes to Canada to film, are they still considered members of the Screen Actors Guild, or do they need to join the Canadian Guild in order to do what they're doing?
I don't know. Now, that's a good question, because I have a feeling that for Broadway plays or theater plays, there's equity. Before the two unions merged, SAG used to be like movies, AFTER used to be television shows. Then all of a sudden SAG was sort of doing movies and television shows, and AFTER was just sort of live, like Mork and Mindy was, you know, where the audience was seated there. That was under AFTER. But now the unions have merged, so, you know, now they cover television or movies and all types of television. Now I'm getting myself way off the track. Is I have a feeling that you could be a union member of SAG and you could be a union member of ACTRA. So, if SAG is going to say, you can't work, you know, we're not going to allow you to work, you probably could just go ahead and join ACT and work.
Oh, okay, that's cool. So basically, we have a really good chance of seeing these Star Trek shows that are being filmed in Canada long before we ever see season two of Picard, which is filming in Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean that, well, I'll just say that's my prediction. I really believe Canada is going to open up before California is, well, like I say, again, with the Screen Actors Guild, you have locals all across the United States. And right now, California is so screwed up that this is one of my favorite sayings, is that, you know, you have two people in the room with three different opinions. I mean, you got the Directors Guild, the Writers Guild, the Actors Union, you got the producers, you got the Teamsters, you got the craft service, you got makeup, you got hair. And there's just there's too many chiefs trying to come up with some kind of outline to protect themselves that they're just running around in circles. In the meantime, I think Georgia is going to open up again. I think Georgia is going to open up before Hollywood opens up. I think Florida is going to open up. I think New York is going to open up. I think California is, they're so concerned about runaway production. They've been screaming about that films and television are being filmed outside of California. And I think this is the last nail in the coffin for California. If they don't come up with some kind of safety rule book and open up California, everything is either going to go to Georgia, New York, Florida, or up to Canada, the major movies are being filmed in England. I mean, the Harry Potter series was England. I think now I always get Marvel and DC mixed up, but those films were filmed, I think, in England or Australia. They were not filmed in California.
What is Hollywood doing to try to keep these productions in Hollywood so that they don't leave?
Well, that's what I'm saying is they're not doing anything. They're discussing. They're talking. I mean, the problem years ago was California didn't have the best tax incentives to keep films and television in California. It's why Georgia became like the main center of filming, or like you say, Toronto. You know, now I'm talking about out of the United States. I mean, California is just so messed up right now. I mean, you know, you have a governor that doesn't want to start up the entertainment industry. You have, like I say, all these unions that can't decide on safety protocol. There's no tax incentive to film in California to speak of. I mean, if this quarantine ever goes away, I don't know who really is going to be left production-wise in California that's going to be filming anymore, because they'll already have probably signed a contract in New Mexico, Georgia, Florida, New York, or outside of the country, Canada, England, Australia, New Zealand. You know, there's going to be nothing left of the pie by the time California opens up.
And
I'm on one of the stunt pages, or actually I'm on several stunt pages on Facebook, And, I mean, the stunt people are just going absolutely crazy because and I'm talking about the California stunt people. I mean, they want to get back to work, and they can see that California isn't coming up with any answers, or there really is no, let's say, time period of California opening back up, and right. and that's where the majority of, I'll say, stunt people are. But there are stunt people in these other locals, and they're going to go back to work while the California stunt people are going to be still sitting at home.
Yeah. Leslie, I've heard stories that L.A. County talked about not even lifting their stay at home until August. And we know that's not over well.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, let's go back about a Santa Claus movie. Is if they're even lucky enough to start filming in August, a Santa Claus movie to be released, let's say by December, that's really cutting it close. I mean, it usually takes 6 months to a year to put a film together.
Probably won't be till December of 2021 for that movie, because it's probably too late to start filming it now. But I want to throw a comment to Leslie. We know that the writer's strike slowed down TV and movies at one point, but Seth MacFarlane was on The Tonight Show and made this comment, and I thought that was very interesting. He said, "We're right in the middle of shooting an episode of The Orville. So it's like when this thing airs at long last, whenever it is, one episode's going to be such that between one scene to the next, people are suddenly gained 20 pounds and have long white beards." But it just...
Yeah.
But it gave me the point of realizing... What about these productions that are in the middle of filming and these actors having 2 to 3 months off in the middle of the season?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I just... At this point, I have no idea. This is just... I mean, health and safety definitely come first, I want to go back to the Writers Guild supposed to go first in negotiations with the producer, and this same president of the Screen Actors Guild, who created this executive committee, which doesn't include all the locals now, has jumped over the Writers Guild I don't know what to call it, negotiations, that she's already in negotiations with the producers. I have a feeling, just like what she did with the Netflix contract, which that's a whole nother story, I have a feeling that she's already talked to the producers. They've already come up with an agreement. They're just letting some time go by, and all of a sudden she's going to announce that after months of negotiations, they've come up with this great contract. Except every contract that's been negotiated ever since she's been president has actually gotten weaker. But there's a lot of apathy in the Screen Actors Guild, and they send out these postcards that says, you know, the head of Screen Actor Guild, and that's another thing. The last contract that they negotiated, they didn't even ask the membership to vote on whether accepting the contract or not. They just, that little group just,
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to say it. The executive the national board of directors or the Netflix contract just accepted it without even asking for a vote from the membership. I have a feeling that this contract that should have come up after the Writers Guild negotiations, I think it's a done deal, and they're not even going to ask the membership to vote on it. They're just going to announce to the membership that it's been, we did a great negotiation, it's been accepted, and here it is.
Wow. Well, guys,
yeah, no,
you know,
it's
you know what time it is, Leslie?
And the thing is, the media isn't going to cover anything about this because the members of the media belong to the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, Leslie, we wrapped up another hour. Can you believe that?
Wow, yeah. No, I just looked up at the clock. Yeah, no, it's I don't think I'm going to have anything new to say next week on California and the virus, and I might be able to tell you what countries or what locals have possibly opened up, but I think California is still going to be stuck.
Well, next week we're going to continue.
I think you are going to see Star Trek Discovery. I think you're going to see the Pike series get filmed or start filming. I don't know what's going to happen with Picard.
Unless they decide to move it, I don't know. Patrick,
well, they
got to
convince Patrick Stewart to go up to Canada.
Right. Exactly. Hmm. Well, guys, believe it or not, we finished up our hour. Next week, we're going to be back with Leslie, and we're going to continue our conversation about stunts gone awry. We started that last week, but we only talked about Star Trek. So we'll be talking about some of the stunts that Leslie's done on other movies that have gone not quite as planned. So you want to tune in for that. That'll be next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Make sure you visit the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page and just say hello to Leslie. She loves to hear from you. I want to say thank you to Ken for joining us tonight. Thank you very much, Ken.
Not a problem.
And also thank you to Charles, my co-host, for all my other podcasts that we've been doing lately. Thank you, Charles.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And also a very special thank you to the one and only Leslie Hoffman, because without her, we wouldn't be doing Stunt Trek. So thank you for hanging out with us, Leslie.
Again, I know I say this every week. It's so nice to be talking to all of you. Just real quick, I had to go have, I'll call it a procedure done at the hospital. And because where I live, due to the age of most of the residents here, I'm in a 14-day quarantine in my room. I have not seen another human being since last Thursday.
What about your pets?
What about my...
Your pets.
You still get to walk them?
Oh, well, okay. That was the one exception. At first, the head guy said that I would have to get one of my mother's aides or somebody to take the dog out. Then he said, well, he could go out in the morning with me as long as I'm wearing rubber gloves and a mask. And then he had enough time to think about it. And as long as I take, the dog's name is Isaiah out at about 7 in the morning and 8 o'clock at night. So when we finish this podcast, we'll go outside and have our evening walk. But in other words, I have a mask, I have the medical rubber gloves on, and we go out, we come in, we go up the stairs, and there's not another human being around us at this point.
Wow, so it's a good thing we do the podcast then.
Yeah, no, I haven't spoken to a human voice in, like you say, I mean, what is it, May 27th is... I'm getting lost. It's either the 27th or the 29th I will be out of self-quarantine.
Wow.
And I might be able to see people then.
Well, guys, you can send Leslie a message on her on the Facebook page, the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page. Send her some get well wishes. She'd love to hear from you. And I'm your host, Uncle Jim. You can join me and Charles on Tuesday. We're going to be doing The Sounds of Sci-Fi and Horror, Volume 5. Yeah, Volume 5.
Yep.
And on Thursday night, we're going to be doing Star Trek The Animated Series and Strange New Worlds, which we did a live show on Friday. So I want to say thank you. I want everybody to be safe, be good to each other. And I'm going to leave you tonight with the release, with the interview, the teaser. I don't know what you want to call it, but this is Anson Mount, Rebecca Romijn, and Ethan Peck thanking the fans for making Star Trek A Strange New World a reality and telling us that it's real and it's going to happen. So if you haven't heard it, enjoy this little clip, and we'll see you guys all again real soon. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Live long and prosper.
Strange New
World.
You asked. We listened. It's happening.
Wow, I'm so glad I finally get to share this news with you guys.
Speaking just for myself, I have never received more love from a fan base than I have from the Star Trek family.
Without you, this wouldn't be happening, so thank you so much.
I can't wait to put on that gold Starfleet uniform and deliver number one right along Captain Pike and Spock.
It is a huge honor.
And it means even more for us to be able to announce this right now at a time when so much of the planet is hurting.
The ethos of Star Trek is so curious and welcoming and unifying.
And we're going to get to work on a classic Star Trek show that deals with optimism and the future.
Here we go. I can't wait.
And I guess there's only one more thing to say. Hit it.